The dominoes are falling. That's how one consumer advocate describes Republican governors, including Rick Scott of Florida, once fiercely opposed to Medicaid expansion under President Obama's health care reform, now changing their minds and opting into the plan. We'll have more on why this is happening, but meanwhile, it is happening as Oregon conducts an experiment in lowering Medicaid costs. And other states are watching closely. The Oregon plan is spearheaded by Democratic Governor John Kitzhaber, a former ER doctor, and we've invited him to lay it out for us. Governor Kitzhaber, welcome. And start at the beginning. Your state had a $2 billion shortfall in the 2011 Medicaid budget, and you made something of a bet with the Obama administration.
I would say it wasn't a bet as much as it was trying to apply best practices that have been proved up around the country. Essentially, most states, when faced with revenue shortfall in their Medicaid budgets, either cut provider reimbursement rates, drop the number of people who are covered, or slice benefits. What we said to ourselves is that, you know, there's a third way that essentially involves redesigning the business model through which healthcare is organized and delivered. And by doing that, we think we can improve health outcomes and dramatically lower costs.
And you mentioned those options, you know, cutting doctors' pay, dropping patients or the benefits, the care they get. Do I understand you were an emergency room doctor, so you had some firsthand knowledge of what happens when those options are taken?
Yes, I practiced ER medicine for quite some time, and basically what happens when you drop people from coverage or cut provider reimbursement rates to a certain extent is you just creep another barrier to access. And so what happens is these people then go to the emergency room, and we end up paying for a stroke in a hospital rather than managing someone's blood pressure in the community. So it's just like kids that drop out of school. They don't disappear. You pick up the cost somewhere else in the system. Yeah. To me, that makes absolutely no sense. So we essentially created a model that focuses on prevention and wellness and the community-based management of chronic conditions, which drives the bulk of medical costs anyway.
And what you did also to help cover that shortfall that we mentioned in the budget is you worked out an arrangement that the federal government would give Oregon $1.9 billion over 5 years, but you as the state pledged to deliver cost savings or you're going to lose that money.
Right. Our commitment is to, first of all, improve health outcomes, so that's a very important part of this. Secondly, to reduce our medical inflation rate by 2 percentage points, so it's about 5.4% a year now. We're on schedule to reduce that to 3.4% by the end of next year. The cost savings will pay back the initial federal investment in the first 5 years and save the feds about $5 billion over a decade. You know, that's real money. I mean, if we were to apply this same care model to Medicaid and Medicare over the next 10 years, the savings would be about $1.8 trillion. 1.5 of that is federal money, and about $359 billion is state. So if you look at the angst over the sequestration, which is sort of a meat axe approach to get $1.2 trillion, we could get $1.5 trillion by actually making the population healthier.
And the way that it would actually work, as opposed to, let's say, you know, block grants, I've seen that comparison where people say just give a certain amount of money to the states, let them decide how to use it. You have incentives to make sure that people meet these quality control standards that you say are actually going to, in the end run, cut costs. So tell us where you think this has been illustrated. We understand there was a small experiment at St. Charles Hospital in Bend, Oregon.
Yes, I want to just emphasize something, though, to your listeners. This is not a block grant. I mean,
a block grant
is a fixed amount of money, and if you add more people, the amount of money you get per person goes down. So what we've agreed on is a per capita cost that will grow at only 3.4% per year, fundamentally different. So in Bend, for example, they did a small pilot to identify those people who were showing up very frequently in the emergency room. They found that many of them had an undiagnosed or untreated mental health problem. So they assigned them a worker whose job it was to connect them with primary care workers in the community. They dramatically reduced these ER admissions and reduced cost. I would say a great example is congestive heart failure. Nationally, about 40% of people with congestive heart failure are readmitted within 90 days of the last admission with congestive heart failure. And the reason is that we don't have a community-based delivery model that checks on those people at home and identifies things that can take them back into the hospital early. So a big focus of these new coordinated care organizations, which is the new delivery model, is to identify, you know, that 10% of the population that's driving most of the cost. They are almost always people with multiple chronic illnesses, and there are well-proven, evidence-based ways to manage those people at home and keep them out of the hospital.
Well, so you've said a couple things there. First of all, you have these community workers that are sort of embedded in the emergency rooms, so when people come in, there's somebody who can get an overall sense of what their needs are. And I understand you also took a look at how the state is set up. Many states are set up in the same way. They're sort of fragmented care. You might have a physical health plan, also a mental health plan, also a dental plan, and you brought them together?
Yeah, what we did is we actually developed a business plan for the new care model, and we have 15 organizations that have organized around this care model. It does require a patient care coordination and service integration. It requires a focus, as I said, on prevention and wellness and community-based care. It requires a patient-centered primary care home. And it requires that these organizations operate on a risk-adjusted fixed budget that's only going to grow at 3.4% a year, and that they're accountable for health outcomes.
So, working within that budget, again, as opposed to a block grant where you just have the money and you have to make the budget, in this case, you have incentives to have better preventive care, which tends to reduce the costs instead of just throwing money at patients repeatedly coming back to emergency rooms and running out of that money. I'm looking at some results that were published in the Washington Post. Apparently, it's a small hospital. There are only 144 patients, these repeat, emergency room visitors. Only 62 agreed to work with this community worker to plan their care. But of those, the emergency department visits fell by 49%, and the program saved $3,000 per patient.
There's a lot of money that can be saved. Let me give you one of my favorite examples. If you have a 90-year-old woman with congestive heart failure that lives in a little unair-conditioned apartment and there's a heat wave, the increased temperature in her apartment could be enough to kick her over into full-blown congestive heart failure. Under the current system, you won't know about her until she shows up at the ER. Under what we've developed in Oregon, someone's checking on her on a regular basis to make sure not just that her medical needs are taken care of, but non-medical needs that might turn into a medical problem. Under the current system, Medicare would pay for the ambulance and $50,000 to treat her in the hospital. What it won't pay for is a $200 window air conditioner that could keep her at home and out of the acute care medical system in the first place.
How do you change that?
Part of our waiver with the federal government is not only we have the liberty now to pay not just for acute care medicine, but we have the ability to take some of the money and pay for a community health worker. We could buy that woman a $200 window air conditioner if we decided that was the best way to keep her healthy. It's a coordinated effort that's really focused on health, not just after the fact medical care. And the system is replete with examples where there are huge cost savings that actually improve health and quality of life.
Well, we want to hear more of those examples, Governor, and there's a lot of excitement about them. But as you know, there's also critics who say you're just moving money around. So we want to pick up with that after the break. We're talking with Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber, more with him, and also why Republican governors are now opting for Medicaid expansion. Now, they once called that big government. That's in 1 minute here and now. Welcome back to our conversation with Oregon Governor John Kitzhaber. To review, in 2011, that state was $2 billion in the hole on cost of Medicaid. That's the shared state-federal program. They told the Obama administration, give us $1.9 billion in federal funding over 5 years. We will cut Medicaid costs or at least slow them down. We're finding out how they did it. Community workers in emergency rooms to guide frequent visitors to preventive care to prevent more ER visits. Global payments instead of paying per treatment. Cutting waste. But Governor, a lot of excitement, but also tensions because the jobs behind wasted money are being eliminated. For instance, a hospital in Oregon found they were doing far too many unnecessary cesareans. They stopped, but that meant staffers lost jobs.
Well, I think this is true with transition of any industry. I mean, employment in the healthcare industry has gone up throughout the whole recession, and obviously hospitals are often some of the biggest employers in the community. What we're trying to do is retrain the workforce to be doing something that's more aligned with good health outcomes. So instead of running redundant MRIs, maybe we develop a whole new set of community health workers, well-trained, to actually keep people out of the hospital. So again, there's got to be a transition period, and we're actually working with our community colleges to develop curriculum for new community health workers that will be part of this new delivery model.
Well, Oregon Health and Science University researcher John McConnell says no one's ever seen a cost control experiment like the one being conducted in Oregon. But you have your critics. State Rep Jim Widener voted against the program and told NPR last year that it's just shuffling money around, not really cutting costs.
That's empirically not true. If you look at the budget, this program has saved $100 million in this budget. It'll save $200 million in the next budget. Now, I think the real question is, will this system actually improve health outcomes? We'll have some data coming out within about a a month that begins to demonstrate that. I'm very confident that we will be able to do this, not only live within the global budget, but also significantly improve health outcomes.
It makes so much sense. You say global budget. That's what you were referring to. You got maybe $50,000 to treat the elderly woman on Medicare. In the past, that woman gets treated when she ends up in the emergency room, which is a far bigger problem. Now, since you have that global pie and you can do what you want with it, you could choose to spend that on a community worker and an air conditioner.
Some of the reduced costs can go back to the hospital and the physicians. You know, for example, if you reduce hospital admissions for congestive heart failure by, 10 per thousand, that's a huge amount of money in the global budget you're not spending. That could actually go to improve reimbursement.
Yeah.
So the idea is to realign financial incentives so actually you get rewarded for positive health outcomes rather than simply volume. It really gets at the root cause of medical inflation, which isn't people without coverage. It's that fact that the way care is organized and delivered is highly inflationary and is rewarded for the number of things you do, not the outcomes you get.
Well, we look forward to seeing what your outcomes are. Oregon Democratic Governor John Kitzhaber on his recently launched initiative to cut Medicaid expenses while expanding the roles and improving the quality of care. Many states are watching closely. Governor Kitzhaber, thanks so much for talking to us about it.
You're very welcome.